that focus okay over there?
Sufficiently.
So last week we started off with a joke, and loosen him up. So why don't we do the same thing this week? Lady died, and these aren't necessarily in line with our particular theology. Lady died and went to heaven, and she arrived at the gate, and Gabriel was there to meet her. And she said, "What do I have to do to get through the gates into heaven?" And Gabriel said, "You just have to spell a word." She said, "What word?" He said, "Love." She said, "L-O-V-E." He said, "Come right in." So she'd been there a few years, and she got to be actually quite good friends with Gabriel. And one day Gabriel said, "I'm going to take a 5-minute break, and you watch the gate while I'm gone." So she was watching the gate, and her previous husband arrived at the gate. He said, "Sylvia, how are you?" And she said, "I'm fine. George, how are you?" "Fine." He said, "What have you been doing since I died?" And George told Sylvia, he said, "You know, that pretty nurse that was taking care of you during your final years? Well, after you expired, I married her. And then I sold the house in which we lived our entire married life and raised our kids and bought a little condo in Acapulco. And just this afternoon, I guess I just couldn't keep up with that young nurse anymore, and my heart gave out and I had a heart attack and I died. So here I am, and what do I have to do to get in?" She says, "Spell a word." He says, "What word?" She says, "Czechoslovakia." Today's title is called Circle of Protection. And if you have comments or feedback, you're welcome to correspond with us at utahkrishnas@gmail.com. And we have a membership class with a PowerPoint on our website, also at utahkrishnas.org. These are all based on the teachings of the founder Acharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Now in this world, it's easy to live in fear instead of in faith. You read the newspapers, you see the TV, talks about terrorist threats, auto accidents. You hear about how dangerous the freeways are, about the violence in schools and the gangs that even penetrate the schools themselves. You hear about how the cities are less and less safe. And so it's easy to live your life in fear instead of faith if you're not careful. But Krishna assures us in the Bhagavad Gita, 9th chapter, 30th verse, Api chet suracharo bhajate mamananya bhak sadar eva samantavya jagadvya vivya sohisa. Krishna assures us that those who keep within His circle of protection, they never perish. Unless God gives us permission, nobody can penetrate the hedge or circle of protection God places around His children. That's a barrier which cannot be broken without His permission. In ancient times, there was a great pious saint called Harishchandra. He was known throughout the world for his piety, for his righteousness, and for his upright behavior. And the Lord wanted, in fact, him to be tested and to show how he would pass all those tests and not abandon or compromise his principles. So we need to turn it down just a little bit. Maybe even turn these mics off, I'm not sure. So Vishwamitra was chosen. Vishwamitra took it upon himself to test Harishchandra by having his kingdom being taken away from him, his wife being sold into slavery, his child being also sold into slavery along with his wife. And before he could subject the great devotee Harishchandra to all these various trials, Vishwamitra had to ask permission. He had to ask permission from God. "Can I put your devotee through all these things?" And the Lord said, "Yes, you can, because he will pass the test with flying colors and show people how great is devotional service to the Lord and how unshakable are those who adhere to his lotus feet in devotional service. As long as you do your best to honor God," and we use the name Krishna for God. It's not a different God, just a different name for the same God. God is great, and one of the ways that we know he's great is that he has so many different names. He's called Urukram or Bikram. It means he has many, many wonderful, super excellent activities. 5,000 years ago, the Lord appeared on the planet, and he remained on the planet for 125 years. Downstairs in the gift store, we have a big, thick book called the Krishna Book, and it highlights some of the wonderful, super excellent activities that the Lord performed during his 125-year sojourn on this planet. So as long as we do our best to honor God or Krishna, that circle cannot be penetrated without his permission. We can go through life without being afraid of terrorist attacks or drunk drivers or accidents. Unless the Lord allows it to happen, nothing can get through the protection of the Lord. He's described as Maha Bahu, means many armed. Many armed. If you have many, many arms in all directions, front and back and sides, and you can protect yourself from anything. Nothing will take you by surprise. Nothing will blindside you. And the Lord is fully present within each and every atom. This is one of the reasons why the Lord is described as having many arms, because there is nowhere that His influence doesn't reach. If you have a fire in the corner of the room and you're 20 feet away, you can still feel that the fire is with you through its energies, light and heat. 20 feet away, you can say, ooh, the fire feels good. So simply, although God is an individual, unique, transcendent person with His own spiritual world, which is far beyond this material world, He also penetrates into each and every atom of the material world through His energies. He's simultaneously apart from this creation, and He's simultaneously non-different. Some people see God as separate, and some people see God as non-different. But He's both. He's Veda, Aveda, Tattva. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu described the Absolute Truth as being non-different from the creation, inasmuch as the creation are the diffusion of His various energies, and at the same time, He preserves His own particular individual personality in His own transcendental realm. So when you're glorifying and honoring that Supreme Lord, you don't have to worry about what someone can or cannot do to you, because the Lord will be your protector, your strong tower, your shield, your fortress, and you need fear no evil, no accident, and no crime. He's your guardian. He's right at your side, shielding you from every evil, when you leave and when you return, both now and both in the future. A lot of us are living way too stressed out, way too worried. We're worried about our safety. We're worried about accidents. We're worried about our health. But the Lord tells us there's no reason to be afraid. There's no reason to go around worried, thinking about what might happen. If it's not your time to go, you're not going to go. Doesn't matter whether there's a sickness or terrorist. No drunk driver has the power to make you go, because God controls the entire universe. 2 weeks ago, we had the Holi Festival here on the grounds of the Krishna Temple. And the festival takes its name from an evil witch named Holika. She had had a benediction that she couldn't be burned by fire. So if she could have used that benediction to do great good, she could have gone into burning buildings and saved people's lives. But instead, she misused the benediction, and she used it to burn babies. And she burned many, many babies by entering into the fire with them. The babies were burned as she came out. So her brother was a man named Hiranyakashipu, a tyrant who lived thousands and thousands of years ago. In fact, Hiranyakashipu, his name means gold and soft bed. And so you can pretty much guess what his priorities were. Now, he happened to have a son who was a great devotee. His son was named Prahlad, and Prahlad was always chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Because he was honoring the Lord day and night with the holy names of the Lord. Krishna means all attractive. Ram is another name for God, which means the highest pleasure, absolute. And Hare refers to the energies of the Lord. Just like we can't think of sun without also thinking of the sunshine. We can't think of the sunshine without thinking of the sun. So the complete mode of address is the name of the Lord, and then also recognizing that the Lord manifests multifarious potencies. So Hare Krishna means, O Lord, O energies of the Lord, please engage me in your service. Let me honor you day and night. Let me honor you coming and going. And so Prahlad had this circle of protection around him. Now, I don't know the whole story. I don't know what semi-divine deity gave Holika the benediction that she not be burned by fire. I don't know what sort of demigod or demigoddess she prayed to or did austerities to. Why was it? Brahma, okay. Apparently the Lord of the universe. She did penances and austerities. The Lord of the universe appeared before her and said, what do you want? She said, I don't want to be burned by fire. And so Lord Brahma is obviously a very, very powerful, great personality. I mean, I haven't created any universes lately, have you? So the creator of the universe gave Holika this benediction. But when Prahlad, when her benediction, based back by the power of Lord Brahma, confronted Prahlad's circle of protection created by the Supreme Lord, who actually creates millions and millions of universes and millions of Brahmas, the power of the Lord prevailed. And what happened was Holika walked into the fire and the benediction boomeranged. She was burned and Prahlad walked out. She was burned and Prahlad walked out. So this is the nature of the Lord. In fact, one time, the Brahma of our universe, he went to the spiritual world to see Krishna. And he came to the entrance of the spiritual world and he said, I'd like to see Krishna. And the gatekeeper said, okay, I'll just go and announce your arrival. The gatekeeper came back and he said, which Brahma are you? Which Brahma are you? And Brahma said, well, I'm the creator of the universe. And he described himself a little bit more. And then he was admitted into Krishna's presence. And then they discussed what things were like and what the demons were doing and what the demigods were doing and how the status quo was holding up in that particular universe. And then as the audience finished and Lord Brahma was getting ready to go, he said, can I ask one more question? He said, when I came here, they asked, which Brahma? Do you mean that there are other universes than this universe? And Lord Krishna laughed and he called all the Brahmas from all the universe. And there were millions and millions of Brahmas, each one of which had created and presided over a particular universe. And most of the Brahmas were bigger and older and stronger than our Brahma, which means our universe is younger and smaller and weaker than most of the universes. And our Lord Brahma, in the company of all the Brahmas who had created all the universes, he all of a sudden, instead of feeling himself as a big, big man, you know, I'm the creator of the universe, he said, I felt like a mosquito amongst elephants. I felt like a mosquito amongst elephants. And he said, my power, two things Brahma said about my power to create this universe came from Krishna. I don't have any independent power, but it came from Krishna. It was imparted to me by Krishna, one point. And he says, that power compared to the power of Krishna is like the power of a glowworm compared to the power of a sunshine. So when Brahma's devotee came up against Krishna's devotee, it was no contest. It was a no contest. By chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Prahlad had built an impenetrable circle of protection around himself. And in fact, anybody who honors the Lord and associates with the Lord through his holy name also will be in a circle of protection that no one can penetrate, no terrorist, no accident, no drunk driver, without the permission of the Lord. Ultimately, after harassing his son in so many different ways, you can see from this picture, Hiranyakashipu put his son in burning oil in an attempt to kill him. I think if I went back, there was another picture, right? Yeah, he put him in a pit of venomous serpents. He threw him over a cliff. He put him under the foot of a war elephant to be stomped. He gave him poison. And all the time, Prahlad could not be destroyed by this big, big, powerful demon who in fact had conquered the universe. And finally, Krishna appeared before Hiranyakashipu. He burst forth from a pillar as Nara Hari. You see the pictures here, and you also see the deity on the altar there. Nara Hari means half man, half lion. And he literally took the evil demon Hiranyakashipu and stretched him over his lap and sunk his nails into his abdomen and bifurcated him as easily as a child sticks a piece of straw through the abdomen of a wasp. And we sing this. Tavakara kamala badem nakama bhuta shingham dalita hiranyakashipu tanu bringam yesavadita narahari rupa jai jagadish hari jai jagadish hari jai jagadish hari. Jagat means the universe and Isha means the controller. In fact, he's not just the controller of this universe, he's the controller of all the universes. And when you're glorifying and honoring him and he's backing you, then there is no other power that can stand against you. Here's another representation of Nrisingadeva, and you see how it is that Hiranyakashipu is breathing his last on the lap of Nrisingadeva. Now, protection doesn't necessarily mean something as dramatic as jumping out of a pillar as a half man, half lion. You know, you have no idea. I have no idea how many times we've been a beneficiary of the protection of the Lord from things that didn't happen. from things that didn't happen. We should not just pray to the Lord for those dramatic occasions when it was obvious that the Lord interceded on our behalf, but we should be grateful as we go throughout our day. Lord, thank you for the accident that didn't happen. Thank you for the disease that didn't overtake me. Thank you for all the things that didn't happen, because protection means also direction. It means also direction. It was about 3 weeks ago, I got a bulletin from Russia. Russian devotees had been scheduled and they booked and paid for their tickets on a certain plane. You remember that plane that went down in Russia? I think it was about 3 or 4 weeks ago. A number of people were killed. Well, these two devotees had their tickets and they were tied up in a traffic jam and they missed the plane. They missed the plane. So that's also protection. That's also protection. Krishna says, Sarvasya Chaham Ridhi Shani Vishto Madash Mitir Gyanam Apodam Cha. I am in the heart of every living being. I am in the heart of every living being. And he protects us as long as he's got something for us to do. If you get up tomorrow morning, if you open your eyes tomorrow morning, it means the Lord has something for you to do on that day. And if you open your eyes the next morning, it means the Lord has something for you to do. And if the Lord has something for you to do, if the Lord has a mission for you, there isn't anybody on heaven or earth, a human being, subhuman, demigod, demigoddess, not even the creator of the universe, who can stop you or can harm you in the course of executing the mission for you. There was one lady in Los Angeles, she died at 114 years old. And in her last days, they said, how do you account for your having lived for 114 years? And she said, the Lord wasn't done with me. The Lord wasn't done with me. In devotional service, there's no such thing as retirement. New York policemen, 60% of them die within 2 years of retiring, either by their own hand or just by boredom. You'll never have that problem as a devotee of the Lord. The Lord will always have things for you to do. If you get up in the morning, it means that He's got something for you to do. So we need to stay under the shelter. There's a secret place, just like we have these peacocks. And whenever they have baby peacocks, the mother peacocks keep the babies under their wings. So at night, when they sleep on the porch on the banister and it's a snowstorm and windy, those baby peacocks, they're just as comfortable and as warm as you could be, tucked up under the wings. They're not getting the snow, they're not getting the rain, and they're feeding off the body heat of their mother. Now, she might be a little uncomfortable, but she's more than happy to undergo that discomfort in order to comfort her young ones. So we need to keep ourselves in that secret place underneath the protective wings of the Lord. But even if you get out of that, sometimes, still, hopefully the protection of the Lord will be there. One guy was riding with a fellow religionist in his car on the freeway, and he was going 90 miles an hour, and his fellow religionist said, don't you think you better slow down? And the driver said, I don't have to slow down, I got the angel of the Lord with me. And his passenger said, you're wrong, he got out at 65 miles an hour. So there's also a case of someone who got himself out of the protection of the Lord. His name was Ajamil. Just for having been in the protection of the Lord for some period of time, when you get out of the protection of the Lord, you get some slack. Ajamil had been brought up as a very pious Brahmin in a religious family, and he had only good role models in terms of his mother and father. And up until about the age of 12 years, he was a very, very pious Brahmin. And he served the deities and he chanted Hare Krishna, and you couldn't find any fault in him. However, as often happens, those nice kids, when they reach the age of puberty and the hormones start kicking in, he saw some low caste people. One time he was out gathering wood for the deity and flowers for the worship, and he saw a low class woman embracing a drunken man. And then this just sort of just got him. It just got him. He couldn't stop thinking about it. He couldn't let go of it. And he hankered after that woman. And eventually he left his beautiful wife and he took up in common law marriage with this woman. He lived with her. He produced 14 children by her. And he took to a life of crime in order to support her, even going so far as to murder in order to support his family. Now this man, Ajamil, he got to be a very old age, about 82 years old. And he was on his deathbed. Now, I don't know, have you ever seen that movie Ghost with Patrick Swayze and Demi Moore? Did you ever see that? Did you ever rent that video? You know, the dark guys that come up and grab the bad guys and take them away? Well, that was what happened. The agents of the Lord of Death, Yamaraj, came up from the underworld and they were dragging the subtle body. We can't see it because the gross body's just lying there and maybe there's some twitching and some discomfort, but we can't actually see it. But the subtle body or the mental body, which is being pulled out of this gross body, taken to the abode of Yamaraj for punishment. So the Yamadutas, who are very, very unsightly fellows, they're dragging the subtle body of Ajamil out down to the lower planets for punishment. In other words, he's going to get the full results of his karma. Every measure of pain and suffering that he's caused, now he's going to experience that. He's going to be on the receiving end. But something extraordinary happened. There's no real explanation for it, but due to his early training and due to his affection for his youngest son, whom he called Narayan, which is another name for Krishna, and out of fear, and not really even thinking of God at all at the time of death, he shouted out of fear, Narayan, Narayan, Narayan. And the Lord's messengers, the Vishnu Dutas, arrived and they interceded. They stopped the Yamadutas from dragging Ajamil away for punishment. And the Yamadutas had never seen anything like this before. They said, "What are you doing? If anyone deserves punishment, it's this guy. He's robbed, he's extorted, he's cheated, he's stealed, he's murdered." And they said, "Yeah, but he chanted the name of the Lord one time. Narayan, Hare Krishna." And that removed, that freed him from more sins than he could possibly commit. Now, don't try this at home. Don't try this at home. Don't do all sins and then think that at the moment of death, you'll be able to chant the name of Narayan. This is an extraordinary story under extraordinary circumstances, which shows you that even if you get out of the protection of the Lord, sometimes you can get extraordinary redemption. But don't count on it. Like Rabindranath Tagore was a great poet and great writer in India. He never graduated college, but he just had that talent. And he wrote great literature and great poems. So eventually, later in life, Oxford University gave him an honorary doctorate. So then if you hear about the story of Rabindranath Tagore, and then you think, well, I won't go to school either, and I'll get an honorary doctorate. That's about the same thing, see? So don't try this at home. But it does show that even if you do get out of the circle of protection, like Ajamil did, that whatever you've done, whatever pious works you've done, or whatever percentage of God consciousness that you've accumulated, that stands you in good stead. That's never eroded. That's never vanished. And then oftentimes we've seen when parents have kids that are wayward, the parents who may be good and righteous, they get down on their knees and they pray, "Dear Lord, help my child. Help him to see the light. Help him to get up with a better crowd of people. Help him to give up his drug or help him to give up his alcohol habit." And even though that person is out of the protection of the Lord, because people who are in the protection of the Lord are praying for the benefit of their constituents and their dependents, the Lord often will help them out. It can make a difference, your goodness and your prayer. Prahlad Maharaj, for instance, going back to that story, although his father was an incorrigible demon, after his father had been killed by the half-man, half-lion incarnation of the Lord, Nrisingadev asked Prahlad, "What can I do for you? What benediction can I give you? How can I reward you for your steadfastness and faithfulness?" And Prahlad said, "Well, I know he was a rascal. I know he was outside of the protection of you. I know he was antagonistic to you. But do you think there's any chance that maybe, you know, maybe 100 or 1,000 births from now, my father might possibly qualify for salvation?" Notice also how Prahlad, because he was getting pleasure and satisfaction from glory and defying the Lord, when God asked for a benediction, he didn't ask for anything selfish. He asked for something. He asked something on behalf of his father, who didn't deserve it. Well, in response to Prahlad, Nrisingadev laughed and he said, "Prahlad, because you are a devotee, because you are a faithful devotee, not only your father, who is a demon, has gotten freed from his sins and gotten salvation. His soul has already gone to the spiritual world, but 10 generations in the past and 10 generations in the future also get liberation. If there's one pure devotee in the family, 10 generations future and 10 generations past are benefited." So such are the benefits of staying within the circle of protection of the Lord. Prabhupada, our spiritual master, when he was young, in order to protect her child, who both she and the father and astrologers had predicted that he would be a pure devotee. When Prabhupada was just born, they brought in one astrologer, and the astrologer looked at the stars at the time of Prabhupada's birth. They looked at the lines, and the astrologer said, "This man will start a great religious movement that will spread all over the world." So his mother wanted to protect him in his infancy. You know, in India they don't have all these antibiotics and things like that. There's more childhood mortality in countries that don't have antibiotics. However, if you get past childhood, your immune system is like a rock. You'll live 110 years old. Nothing can destroy your immune system. The disadvantage in the Western country, we take antibiotics and we have more children survive childhood, but the immune system is severely compromised and they're not as strong and they're not as virile throughout their whole life. So the critical period in an era and in a world where there's not antibiotics is the first couple of years of life. So his mother, Prabhupada's mother, took a vow that if the Lord will draw a circle of protection around her son, she'll eat with her left hand until such time as he's old enough to notice it and remark, "Mother, why are you eating with your left hand?" And then she would release the vow. She figured that Prabhupada would be old enough, he'd be past that danger zone, if he could note that everybody else is eating with their right hand, my mother's eating with her left hand. And when he asked, "Mom, why are you eating with your left hand?" At that point, she would stop the vow, because he would have passed the danger point. And his father prayed that he'd be a great devotee of Radharani. Though he got all Western education at Scots College in Calcutta, his father taught him how to play the harmonium. He taught him how to play the madanga. He modeled perfect deity worship in the home. So because of the wishes of his parents, who were within the circle of protection of the Lord, and because of the prayers of his parents, he became a great, great devotee. And so rather in your relationships and in your interaction and social reaction, rather than running people down, you know, it's just so easy to say, "Oh, you're a jerk," or "You've got a long way to go." Try to build people up. Try to approach them positively. Tell them, "You could be a great woman of God. You could be a great man of God." And rather than focusing on how far they have to go, consider how far they might have come. Think of the positive. Don't just label people. Don't just categorize people. Don't just run people down. Everybody is handcrafted uniquely and specially by God. And everybody has the potential to do some great things in life for their fellow human beings and in the glorification of God. So stay in that secret place under the shelter of the Lord. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, "Pachaksam bhagamam guyam." He says this knowledge of how to always be protected in life. You know, and how many things do we resort to? How many different counteractive measures do we take to try and protect ourselves from terrorist attack? You know, the TSA and all that. You know, just so much money and we spend to try to protect ourselves from terrorist attack. So much we spend to make the highway safe. So much we spend on health care and Medicare and medical insurance. And yet we're not at all sure that these things are going to be effective. Parents pray for the safety of their children, and yet children die. Rich people travel in expensive luxury airplanes and in ships, and in spite of that mundane protection, they die. Remember the Titanic. It went down. It was the biggest, most safest ship. They didn't even have lifeboats on it, as far as I remember. They were so confident, and yet it went down. And sometimes people are tended to by the best, most professional physicians, and still they die. So all of our efforts for protection are limited, and we can't even be sure that they're going to work. But if we take shelter underneath the orders of the Lord, we can be assured that nothing can penetrate that circle of protection unless it's the will of God. And what is that secret place? Krishna says, it's confidential, and yet at the same time, it's open to everybody. It's open to everybody. The Lord asks us, "Manmana bhava madbhata madhigivim navskanu mame vasisi satyam te pratijane priyame." He says four things: honor me and be protected by me, be in that secret place under the shelter of my wings by doing four things. Think of me. God asks us to think of Him. Is that very difficult? We had 40,000 people on Saturday, 50,000 people last Sunday, and they were thinking of Him. We were chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. We had hip hop, Hare Krishna. We had blues, Hare Krishna. We had even an Irish, beautiful, haunting Irish Hare Krishna tune. We had rock Hare Krishna. We had Motown Hare Krishna. We had rhythm and blues Hare Krishna. But that's what people were doing. They were thinking of Krishna, and they were ecstatic. They floated home. And look at YouTube and all the comments. It was awesome, they said. One person commented on one video, this is the way that life should be lived. This is the way that life should be lived. Every day should be like that day. And what was going on in that day? Well, we're enjoined to do two things. Love God with all our heart, all our soul, and all our might. And love our neighbor as ourselves. So this festival was built around those two principles. I mean, there are other festivals and other activities where those are peripheral or those are incidental benefits. But this is a festival based on loving God by chanting His holy names and dancing. And loving your neighbor as yourself. So no wonder people are happy, because it's fulfilling the reason that we were created. And we're fulfilling the purpose that we're here. And when we come into the gates of the temple, we're not worried about our finances or our grades, or our family. Not that those things aren't important, but they're not the main reason why we're here. They're okay. They're fine. They're fine. That's all. They're not the main reason. As long as they're not making noise, I'm good. I'm okay. Those are not the main reasons that we're here. We're here to love God and love our fellow men. So Krishna, manmano bhava mad bhakta. Think of me, mad bhakta. Become my devotee. Mad yogi, bow down before me, mam namaskaru. And honor me. And honor me and worship me. If we do that, we stay in the shadow of the Almighty. Now, someone asked me, I was giving a class at the University of Utah the other day, and someone asked me, they said, well, what do you think about Christianity? What do you think about the philosophy and theology of Christianity? I think it's great. I mean, obviously I'm a devotee, because I feel there's more expansive knowledge about God, more specific knowledge about God. Prabhupada used to say, we can give you God's name, His address, and His phone number. That's pretty specific, right? So I'm a devotee of Krishna because if the purpose of life is to love God, then the more we know about Him, then the more we can love Him. So it's enabling. It's freeing. But obviously a Christian may say, well, I'm a Christian because I've got this and this and this over the Krishnas. And that's all fine and dandy. And to be honest with you, I don't have a problem with Christian theology. I don't have a problem with the theology at all. I can live with that. I can even go, hurrah, hurrah, hurrah. But I will tell you this, most Christians are not in that secret place. Nothing wrong with their theology, but they're not in that secret place. They're not under the shadow of the Almighty. They're not under the wings of Him. And you won't like it when I tell you why. You won't like it, but I need to tell you. Because I want you to be there. I want you to be in that secret place. And I don't want you to miss out. And the reason that most Christians is not because of the teaching, not because of the theology. It's because they're eating meat. It says, thou shalt not kill. Now, admittedly, we have to eat something to survive. No living being can live without eating something else. But to shed the blood unnecessarily of highly evolved mammals and vertebrates that have a highly evolved nervous system that scream and bleed in pain, to deny them life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness is disobedience of the laws of God. And it's by following the laws of God that you put yourself under His protection. So the whole Christian world, for the most part, is disobedient to the most fundamental law of God. Thou shalt not kill. It doesn't mean we can live without killing. Although if you're a vegetarian, consider that you pick an apple from the tree doesn't die. You milk the cow doesn't die. The wheat is brown when you harvest it. That means that the life force has already left it. So for the most part, as a vegetarian, you know, you're not killing. But nobody can live without killing. So when it says, thou shalt not kill, it doesn't mean you there's no way you can live without killing. But it's saying unnecessary killing, and specifically bloodletting. The Lord is not pleased by the level of violence that's represented by the shedding of blood. And so if you're a Christian and you're not killing, then I would say the gates of heaven are open. But if you're disobeying the orders of the Lord, I don't think that you're under... And you may not like this, you probably don't like it. But I'm saying it, just like a physician, you know, he may say things the patient may not want to hear. Patient is sick because of eating chocolate, right? Now one physician, because he wants the fees, he wants the money, he'll say, well, go ahead and eat some chocolate and take the medicine. But the physician that really wants the patient to get cured, saying, look, you need to stop eating chocolate. So I'm sorry if you're offended by this, but it is a fact that as long as you're killing unnecessarily, shedding blood unnecessarily, you can go to church every Sunday, you can follow the theology and all like that, but you have a huge iron door between you and the ultimate destination of the spirit cell. Here is a story of Sita. Sita was in the forest, according to Ramayana, and Ram had gone off, and then Lakshman, who was charged with Ram for the protection of Sita, he needed to leave her alone and go and search out Ram in the forest, and so he draws a circle. He drew a circle around Sita, and he said, Sita, as long as you stay within the circle, you'll be safe. And when Lakshman had left, then Ravana came, as you can see. And Ravana was disguised as a holy man, as a Brahmin. And he couldn't get through the circle. He couldn't penetrate the circle that Lakshman had built. And then finally, when Sita got a little carried away and she pointed at something and her hand went out of the circle, then he grabbed her and he kidnapped her. But in her mind, she was always faithful and dedicated to Lord Ram, who was another incarnation of Krishna. And later on, when Ram destroyed Ravana, destroyed his city and destroyed his army, and he took Sita back, Sita had to undergo a test to prove her faithfulness, even though she'd lived for 1 year as a captive of Ravana. She needed to prove her chastity to Ravana. And she walked into fire in order to prove her chastity. And the fire god himself, Agni, walked out carrying Sita. And he testified, he said, here is your Sita. Here is your Sita. She has not deviated from thoughts of you, even for one moment. And in fact, Agni said that the Sita that Ravana kidnapped, the Sita that Ravana was a false Sita. That was an illusory Sita. And when the illusory Sita was kidnapped and kept captive for 1 year, Agni took the real Sita and sheltered her. And so when Agni, the fire god, walked out of the fire with her, he said, this is the real Sita. That was the false Sita that went to Ravana. So in this way, if you think of the Lord and honor Him, you'll always be protected by Him. Now, true, someone may say, if God is so good, why didn't He prevent a plane from crashing? Why didn't He prevent this accident from happening? Protection doesn't mean that the Lord doesn't prevent accidents, but it means that He'll carry you through it. Krishna did not prevent Prahlad from going into the fire, but He brought him out of the fire unscathed. Our friends from the Star of India restaurant often bring us food. They cook big quantities and they bring them down for festivals. One time they were driving back in their minivan and they were behind a truck and the load came off the truck and completely smashed their minivan. Their minivan was total. And they came back and they said, Charu, we just brought food to the temple and we're going back and the Lord almost wiped us out. Why did He allow that accident to happen? I said, Lord, the Lord doesn't prevent the accident from happening, but you're alive, right? You're alive. All it had was a piece of metal got trashed. But you're all unscathed. You and your wife and your two daughters are unmarked. That's the protection of the Lord. He didn't prevent the accident, but He protected you during the accident itself. He didn't deliver Prahlad from the fire. He took him through the fire. So you're not going through life alone, just flimsily hoping that everything's going to work out. The Lord put a hedge around you which cannot be penetrated without His permission. Someone may say, well, I don't see all this divine protection. I don't see it happening in my life. I don't see it dramatically. As I mentioned, you don't know the things that didn't happen. Thank Him for the obvious and thank Him also for the not so obvious. Lord, who knows how many times the Lord's kept us from being in the wrong place at the wrong time. You just didn't see it. By the Lord's will, someone who can see sometimes becomes blind. And someone who's blind can sometimes see. Prithviraj, who was a great devotee of the Lord, lived thousands of years ago. He was captured by a Mughal king, Muhammad of Ghor, who was a vicious, vicious anti-Krishna person. He killed many, many Hindus. And he had blinded Prithviraj and thrown him in prison. And Prithviraj asked that Prithviraj let it be known to the king, Muhammad of Ghor, that he could shoot a target without seeing it. And this piqued Muhammad of Ghor's curiosity so much that he called for Prithviraj to be brought up into the arena, and the king was sitting up on his dais there, and all kinds of people, and the king says, let me see this Hindu shoot a target that he can't see. And they had a target put up there, and they gave Prithviraj one arrow and one bow, and Prithviraj stretched the bow, and then Prithviraj said, I am a king and you are a king. So I will not shoot except by your order. So Muhammad of Gore said, shoot. And then Prithviraj, he had trained so much in his youth, he actually couldn't shoot anything that he couldn't see, but he could hit anything that he could hear. And that's how he trained. So as soon as he heard the Muhammad of Gore's voice, he just turned and he put an arrow through his heart, like that. So there was a blind man who could see, in a manner of speaking. And in the Bible, one time Saul was hunting David. Saul once, he had heard David would be the next king. So he had about 3,000 men. And he was hounding David and hounding him and pursuing him. He was hot on his heels. And David just had like 5 or 6 men, and they were exhausted and they were lying in this cave. And a few minutes after they took shelter in the cave, Saul and all of his 3,000 men came to the cave. And Saul needed a private moment to relieve himself. And he went into the cave. And while he was relieving himself, he was this close to David. David could have reached out and touched him, but he couldn't see him. He couldn't see him because the Lord wanted David to be the king. And so the man who could see became blind. So the more that you brag on God's goodness, the thicker the circle of protection comes. We don't need to feel panic as we go through our lives. We need to feel security. According to the Mahabharata, 5 devotees, 5 staunch devotees of Krishna, fought a huge war. If you read the Mahabharata, 6,400,000 soldiers assembled on the battlefield of Kurukshetra to fight a fight of good versus evil. And the Lord assured the 5 Pandavas that they would come through that ocean of danger. They would come through that ocean of danger unscathed. They were beset on every side by powerful, dangerous, lethal warriors, all of whom had the sole fixed intention of killing the 5 devotees of the Lord. And yet, because they had the circle of protection, none of them were even touched. And every one of the other 6,400,000 soldiers were slain. But those 5 Pandavas crossed over that dangerous ocean of the battlefield of Kurukshetra in 18 days. So it said, 1,000 may fall to the right of you and another 1,000 to the left, but you'll not be touched. However bad or horrible or scary it might seem, don't be afraid. Krishna's got you covered. Nothing can happen as long as he has his shield up. You will say with faith of the Lord, he is my refuge, my tower, my deliverer, my shield. When things start against you, you say, I've got a hedge of protection that the enemy cannot cross. God can use rain to protect you, traffic jams, he can make you invisible. Here's an instance where Indra, powerful demigod, the king of heaven, wanted to test Krishna's power and Krishna's devotees, as described 5,000 years ago in the Krishna book. And he didn't just bring a rain. The village where Krishna was manifesting his pastimes, a little village south of Delhi, you can still visit it, it's called Vrindavan. Indra invoked the clouds of devastation. Indra invoked the clouds that are only invoked at the time of the annihilation of the universe. And those clouds began pummeling Vrindavan. The rain was coming down like pillars. It was freezing cold. The water was rising. The cows and the inhabitants were getting cold. And they said, Krishna, Krishna, bring us under your sheltering protection. And as you can see, Krishna reached down underneath Govardhan Hill and picked up the huge mountain with the little finger of his left hand, and he held it aloof for 7 days. He invited all the inhabitants of Vrindavan to come under the umbrella of the mountain, where they were warm, where they were happy, where they played games, where they were scarcely even aware of the maelstrom that was going on around them. And thus he's worshipped ever since then as Giri Govardhan, one who held up a mountain with the pinky of his left hand. And here's one point too. When a parent wants to discipline a child, a parent doesn't kill the child. A parent may slap the child's hand, but no parent kills the child. So Krishna assures us in the Bhagavad Gita that we're never destroyed. Even if you meet with an accident by which your body is taken away from you, you are never destroyed. If someone walks in the room and attacks me and tears the shirt off my back, it may be a little traumatic, but I'm still here. They've just destroyed the shirt. So according to the Bhagavad Gita, we're not these bodies. You are an eternal spirit soul within the body. Nothing can kill you. Nothing can burn you. Nothing can destroy you. Nothing can drown you. Nothing can cut you. So whenever we experience pain or suffering, even the loss of so-called life, it's for remedial purposes. It's for remedial purposes. The lessons that we failed to learn in the last life, now, call it instinct or intuition, we pick them up from those kinds of experience. Two kids walk down the grocery store. One of them steals candy bars and the other one would rather touch fire. So that means through past lives, one child has learned the lesson and the other child has yet to learn that lesson. But God never kills us under any circumstance. He's built us in such a way that you can never die. You might have to change bodies. You might have to change bodies. That's not death. That's just for remedial purposes. In Yellowstone, after a recent terrible fire, some people were sifting through the ruins. They came upon a bird who had been petrified. She had been fossilized. She had been turned into stone by the hot flames. And she looked stately, picturesque, as if posing for a picture. And while they were looking, three little chicks came out from underneath her wings. She had sacrificed herself in the fire to protect her little ducklings. And so Krishna has the same paternal attitude that no matter how hot the fire, no matter how great the dangers, no matter how great the risk, no matter how vicious the threat, the Lord will cover you with His feathers and under His wings you will find refuge. There may be explosions all around, but don't be afraid. Be in the secret place. Follow the directions of the Lord. Be in the shadow of His feathers. Get up every morning and say, Lord, thank you for being my guardian against all evil. If you do this, He'll be present to protect you, coming and going, now and forever. Every one of you will fulfill your God-given destiny in peace and safety. And with me, if you will, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Rama, Hare.